Well, we come now to one of the best known and best loved of Jesus' I am sayings. We have looked already at the I am the bread of life saying, I am the light of the world, and last week, I am the gate. Today we consider, I am the good shepherd. We consider too what it is to be in his fold. In his fold. I think one of the great things about a Holy Land pilgrimage is going into these landscapes, and especially to places where much is still the same as it ever would have been. And this little rickety fence would be the kind of pen that we were talking about. And when you see how frail it is, you come to realize the role of the shepherd. More of which to be unfolded as we go. I am the good shepherd. So we want to ask ourselves this morning, what is Jesus wanting us to know about himself by describing himself in this way as a shepherd? First of all, folks, it's a statement about ordinariness. About ordinariness. This is a million miles away from if Jesus had said, I am the king, or I am the president. This is very different. Shepherds were lowly, down-to-earth folk, working men of no note whatsoever. And yet Jesus thinks nothing about comparing himself to such as these. There are those who always strive for this. Those who always want their name in lights. Not Jesus. The gospel, therefore, is always good news to the poor and the lowly and the ordinary folks of life. In saying, I am the good shepherd, it's as if Jesus is aligning himself with the ordinary folks of the world. And as we, as a church, live out the gospel, may it continue to be so that ordinary folk find the truth of the gospel, because Jesus came for ordinary folk. Well, ordinary they may have been, but shepherds were nothing if not courageous. Now, we know that Jesus was a direct descendant of David, King David. But we also know that David was a shepherd boy in earlier years. And how fitting, therefore, that the good shepherd Jesus comes from one who himself was a shepherd. And David himself made clear the courage that is needed of a shepherd as he prepared to fight Goliath the giant. And as people mocked him and told him that he was way too small and too insignificant to fight such a soldier as Goliath, David stood up and spoke up and said, I'm a shepherd and I defend my sheep. Displaying great courage in the process. Look what David said of himself. I take care of my father's sheep. Isn't that a beautiful word picture? I take care of my father's sheep. And don't you see how it is an exact foretelling of who Jesus would be? 1,000 years after David came Jesus. And the very same thing is said of Jesus, that he takes care of his father's sheep. And we are those sheep. Just as with those shepherds of old, Jesus promises that he will give up everything, even lay down his life for us. And as we reflected in our prayers, And as we will focus on when we come to Easter, these were not empty words. These were not idle promises. Here is the truth that Jesus will indeed give himself up willingly. Such is his love for us. You know, in this country, any shepherd I've seen always drives the sheep from behind with dogs, or maybe, as you see nowadays, modern, lazy modern day shepherds on quad bikes and the likes. But in the Middle East, still to this day, the shepherd goes in front and the sheep follow on behind. It's a quite different way of doing things and of thinking of it. And I think it helps us to see and to get what Jesus was meaning when he described himself as the sheep. Sorry, as the shepherd. Here he says that the shepherd calls the sheep by name and leads them and goes on ahead of them. Now, this is the part I've been thinking a lot about this week. And it seems to me that that's the kind of shepherd I want. That's the kind of Savior I want. One who will go ahead of me. Not someone who is behind bringing up the rear. I'm looking for a Lord and Savior who is going ahead of me always. In life. The shepherd is leading, showing the way. That's the kind of Savior I want and I need. Someone to show me the way in life. And someone who is up front, on point, guarding against danger. And that's the kind of Savior I want in my life. And perhaps just as importantly, I want a Savior who goes ahead even to death. A Savior who has taken those steps. A Savior who has been down there before me and has opened the way. That's my kind of Savior. The one who goes ahead and leads us. Concerning the end of life, how much more reassuring to have a Savior who has been there. Not one at the back who says, well, you go on and I'll follow in time. A Savior who says, I'll go first. I'll go first and you can follow. But if the shepherd goes ahead, why do the sheep follow? Why don't they just wander off on their own? Why do they follow the shepherd as he goes in front? Well, Jesus gives us the answer to that question. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. This is to do with trusting. This is to do with familiarity. I'm not going to follow a stranger, someone I don't know, but I will put my trust in someone who I have come to know well. I will put my trust in someone who has befriended me. Someone whose voice I have come to recognize. You know, in a world of clamoring, competing voices, it's good for the Christian to be able to say, and we'll sing this at the end of our service today, I heard the voice of Jesus say. There are many voices that want to vie for your attention, who will lead you off in any other direction. We need to come to know the voice of Jesus, the voice of the shepherd. And then how good it is to say, I heard the voice of Jesus say to me, come unto me and rest. One promise after another the shepherd makes to us. I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. I heard the voice of Jesus say, you'll never be put to shame. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me, and I will give you life in all its fullness. I heard the voice of Jesus say, believing in me, you have already crossed from death to life. Eternal life is yours. Now that's a voice I want to train my ears to hear. That's a voice I want to follow in my life, just as the sheep follow the shepherd. And the wonderful thing is, the more we trust him, the more we take him at his word, the more we follow him, the more we come to know him. Our relationship deepens. How deep the Father's love for us, all the more we come to know the depth of that love as we learn to trust him in our lives, just as those sheep following the shepherd, taking his lead. And so what was the result of Jesus saying of himself, I am the good shepherd? Back then, when he first used that description of himself, what was the result of his saying this? Here we have it. The Jews who heard these words were divided. In other words, some believed him and followed him. Others rejected him. And ever since that first audience, it has always been that way. And still remains that way. The claims of Jesus will still divide people. There are those who will trust him and follow him, and there are others who will not. Or there are others who will start following, who will start down the road but will fall away, will become distracted. And will not follow Jesus all the way through life. And here's the harsh reality, which should kind of put a chill over us. The likelihood is that even in this gathering this morning, we will see something of this division. And there are those who will give their lives to Jesus and who will follow him faithfully all the way to the end. And there are others who will fall by the wayside. But what about you? It's of some historical note that the Jews were divided about Jesus, but only historically. I'm more interested in you, much more. When it comes to Jesus and his claims to be the good shepherd, to be God's only son, to be the one who can open up for you life in all its fullness, will you take him at his word? Will you trust him? And will you follow him in your lives? In the end, folks, that is all that matters. That's all that matters. I pray that you will follow him and that you will have him forever as your good shepherd. Shall we pray?